You're listening to Inside of You with Michael Rosenbaum. Ryan?
Michael?
How you feeling, buddy?
I feel good.
Did you have a good weekend?
I had a great weekend.
You were in Italy, too.
I was not in Italy.
So, London.
I was in London.
God, idiot.
I mean, they get confused all the time. It's not your fault.
Yeah, they're close to each other.
They really are, yeah.
Italy's a little south, right?
Slightly. Just slightly south of London. Southeast. Yeah.
That's good. Thanks for the geography lesson, man.
Hey, anytime.
Hey, guys. Hey, we've got a great episode today. I always say that, but I don't always say it, do I? But reading a lot of your comments, and I don't like them, but I do read them. I don't reply to every one of them, but I reply, and I love them. I love your responses to the show and what you think about it. And if you have ever had any ideas, hey, man, shoot them out there. You know, I try to get the best guests I can so you guys keep listening and are engaged and, you know, have some honest, raw, real conversations. We have a great guest today. I love this interview. This was so fun. We're going to get into that in a second. Want to say thank you also for listening to the new podcast, In Love with Michael Rosenbaum and Chris Sullivan. That is also on iTunes, Spotify, everywhere. I think that's really about it. Nothing really happened to me this week other than, you know, I'm part of this great organization, nonprofit called Food on Foot. Helps homeless here in Los Angeles, and it's an amazing organization. I go out there every Sunday and help, and I'm a 98. Dollar club member, which is $98 a month, and you would be surprised at what it does for people. It really saves lives. So I'm throwing out that Food on Foot, just incredible. Also, if you want to donate, Ronald McDonald House, I love them. Ronald McDonald House here in Los Angeles, really, when kids are going through surgeries and battling leukemia and things that we couldn't even possibly understand, or maybe some of you do, you know, Ronald McDonald House not only helps these kids and gives them a place to stay, but a place for their parents to stay with them. You know, it's very expensive, and so your help's always appreciated. Right now, Jenna Fisher, guys. Jenna Fisher, we're going to get inside Jenna Fisher. She talks about her marriage to my one of my best friends, James Gunn, and my other, she wasn't married to Sean. That'd be weird. She was married to both Guns, right, Ryan?
That'd be really strange.
That'd be weird. It'd be a good story, though.
Yeah.
But she also talked about, you know, The Office. She talked about, you know, she loves Rain, but she talks about some stuff on that. She's got a new podcast coming out that you guys want to hear about. Sounds fucking great for you Office fans. Let's get inside Jenna Fisher.
It's my point of view. You're listening to Inside of You with Michael Rosenbaum.
Inside of You with Michael Rosenbaum was not recorded in front of a live studio audience.
What were we talking about right before we started rolling?
Oh, about why I put my phone on airplane mode all the time.
Oh, yeah, because this is what I really wanted to know why.
Because my phone has been spying on me. So check this out. I'm in New York City. We are staying in our apartment in New York City, and we have a window unit air conditioner, and it broke. So we walk to Bed Bath & Beyond, my husband and I say, oh, hey, look, it's one of those portable, rolly air conditioning units that you can plug in. We could move it from room to room. So if any of the other window units break, this is perfect. Should we get it? Well, it wasn't for sale. It was the floor model, yada, yada, yada. We have a whole conversation about should we get a rolly air conditioner unit. 2 days later, I get an email about a sale on portable air conditioning units. A spam email. Explain that to me. Explain that to me. That's weird. This was a conversation I was having in Bed Bath & Beyond, and I got an email. And then I went and I looked, and I realized what it was, because it came to my real email. So I have two emails. I have a fake email.
What do I have?
You have my real email. So I have a real email. That's where I do all my work and I converse with people personally. But if I ever order anything on the internet, or you have to like sign up for a website to get stuff delivered, I always put this other email, because, you know, then they spam you about all your sales, and I don't want to read about your sales.
That. Sure.
Like, in, so I separate the two. So this came to my real email, and I realized that Instagram has my real email. It's the only website that I gave like my real email to.
Okay. I'm really getting nervous now, because I just give my shit to everybody and their mother.
Okay, right. And so here's what it is. Instagram listens to you through the microphone on your phone. So in order to do Instagram stories and stuff, you have to turn on the microphone. And sometimes it'll just enable the microphone when you're not using the app, and it'll listen to you, and it'll collect data on you, and then sell you shit.
Ryan?
Look it up on the internet. You can Google it. You can Google
Ryan,
it.
Ryan, have you heard of this?
Yeah. No, I get targeted ads all the time. It's terrifying.
But it's not just from web searches. It's not just based on what you are typing in.
She's saying things you say or things you...
Things you say.
Yeah.
Because I don't have an Alexa or a whatever in my house. I don't have those devices that listen to me because they freak me out. But this was just...
That's really odd.
So this is why the suggestion in the article I read was that you should either turn off all the microphones or always keep your phone on airplane mode unless you're actually using it. But then the problem is you can't get phone calls and text messages. I don't know. I'm struggling with it. Or I go through and I turn off all the microphones.
Are you a paranoid person? Do you get freaked out when people are at a store, if they're looking at you, or if it's too long, or I know they come up to you? Are you a shy person?
I'm a shy person. I get very embarrassed when people recognize me. I feel embarrassed being the center of attention. I did not become an actor to be the center of attention. I became an actor to hide in other characters and be other people. So
why don't you dress up as someone else then when you go?
Well, I wear a hat. And that works a lot.
But people see your face like, oh, she's so pretty.
Everybody's always so nice, but I feel very shy and embarrassed.
Do you get anxiety?
By the attention. No. I don't walk around with a lot of it doesn't like weigh on me.
You don't wake up with any kind of anxiety?
No. Not really. I mean, I'm a generally kind of like nervous, anxious person, but it's not directed at any one thing. I do have a bag full of old medication where I wrote out what everything is in case of, like, you know, a zombie apocalypse.
It's all expired.
Or a tragedy. Yeah. Do you feel like that applies?
No, I have that too. In fact, yesterday.
It's in a backpack.
It is?
Oh, yeah. It's all labeled.
I should probably.
Is that weird?
Well, my pills are labeled Xanax, Ambien, Tamiflu.
No, this is my expired medication. So it'll say, like, for pain, antibiotic. Because, you know, I asked my husband if this was too much, and he said, time will tell.
Time will tell. Isn't that the truth?
We'll see.
I guess we'll see if you were right.
You're either the smartest person or the weirdest.
That's what I always think. I always think that, you know, you have this stuff in the house, but you throw it away. You don't need it. It's space. But I'm like, but what if you need it?
Right.
What if that earthquake hits?
Yeah. And then someone I know, they've got a bone coming out of their leg. And I'm like, wait, I have some expired medication from my C-section in this backpack over here.
But where's the backpack?
The backpack is in an exterior building on my property. So it's not even in my house. So it's like in one of the like detached sheds.
So an incident has to happen within the vicinity of your house.
Well, that's true.
So if anything happens elsewhere.
Got to get to that backpack.
Got to get to that or the nearest emergency room.
Or just pharmacy. Just break in and take what you need.
Right.
There's also that option.
I don't know anybody who has another facility. I mean, I guess if you had like a shed.
Yeah, it's like a shed.
It's like a shed.
Yeah, I didn't know what to call it. But it's just like a shed where you keep your rakes and, you know.
So you have quirky little things that you just.
Shovels and stuff.
But you don't seem like you really get, like, when people come up to you, feel shy. Do you make them feel do they feel weird? Because some people, you know, I can make people feel good. Like, that's just a gift I have, which is also...
This is true about you. I love that you know this about yourself,
well,
too.
I think it's the only thing I actually notice, which I really... Because there's a lot of things I don't like about it myself, which I've talked about many times, and I always do. But the one thing, I just feel like I can make people feel comfortable.
This is true about you.
I just try to make everybody come... Like, today.
But you just do it without thinking, right? It's just part of you. It's just your DNA. It's how you are.
Yeah. So when they come up to me like, oh, I'm like, yeah, let's give me your camera. What are you doing? Let's do the, hey, how are you?
Oh, that's so nice.
But I see some people who are a little awkward or just like, you know, they're shy like you.
Yeah.
So what do you do? Let's say I just come up to you and I go, hi, are you the girl from The Office, Pam?
Yes, that's me. Yeah.
You were in Blades of Glory?
Yes.
And you were in this play that, can I get your autograph?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
I'm so shy. Like, I feel embarrassed. I think who would want that? And so then I just feel embarrassed.
But why do you feel like who would want that? Because you're on a tremendous, I mean, hugely successful show. So you figure, of course they're going to want to come up to
you. Well, that is just coming from my upbringing. That my upbringing was, like, the concept of humility. And don't brag. Like, if you have a talent or if you have something that someone else doesn't have, you just keep that to yourself. So
really?
I think it's like a no bragging thing.
Was that a good thing? Was it did you still have the whole, I'm proud of you, Jenna. I'm really proud of you. You're really good. I love you.
Yeah, we're so proud of you. Everything you're doing is so wonderful.
Oh, well, that's good.
Don't make a big deal out of it.
Right.
And like if people...
don't make a big deal out of it.
But also like if people come up to me when I'm with my mother and they say something like, oh, we just love your daughter so much. She's such a talent. We watch her show all the time. My mom will say, thank you. And I have another daughter who is a school teacher who is also really, so it's like she, what, like my mom will be so careful to make sure that she gives my sister a big plug as well. Cause she,
did you hear that?
I heard this. What was that? Was it your stomach?
No, my mouth made a noise.
I turned your stomach with that story. You were disgusted by that.
Where's your backpack? God's sakes.
We have to
do you have
run.
Anything
it's,
for that?
It's in my. Oh, I don't have
any acid reflux or something.
I don't have any antacids in my backpack.
Do you keep anything in your purse right now?
I keep very little in my purse. I have a whole thing about carrying a purse and wearing high heels. I find it, as a feminist, it really bothers me. I want to carry a wallet like a man in my back pocket and put my keys in my front pocket. But let me tell you something about the pockets on women's pants. They're about 70% smaller than the pockets on the back of men's pants. And I don't think it's a coincidence that we earn about 70 cents to every man's dollar. I think it's a huge conspiracy. Oh my God, I do. I'm so paranoid.
So you want bigger pants?
I want bigger pockets.
Bigger pockets, yeah, that would
for
be.
For all no my money in my pants. Wallet for when I get paid equal.
Do you
I want equal pay and equal pockets. I'm going to make a t-shirt.
I think that, I agree with you.
Equal pockets for equal pay.
Equal
That's
pockets
a hashtag.
For equal pay.
Let's start it.
Hashtag equal pockets for equal pay.
Yeah.
It's hard to say.
It is an alliteration, isn't it? Maybe we need to rethink it.
Equal pockets for equal pay. You know, you said something like your mother's always like, oh, but my other daughter, she's a teacher. Now, you had a lot of teachers in your family and you weren't a teacher.
Correct. My mom was a teacher. My sister is a teacher. My sister married a teacher.
Did they let you know that? Like, could have been a teacher.
No, I think they knew I never wanted to be a teacher.
Were they upset by that?
No, I think I'm doing exactly what my mom hoped I would do. Truly.
Really? Because most parents don't want their kids to become actors.
My mom was totally happy with it. My mom, I think, would have loved to have pursued acting. She did a lot of theater growing up. And when she went to college, her father would only pay for her college if she wanted to be a nurse. He was a pharmacist. Mm-hmm. And he kind of didn't believe that women should work out of the home. So my mom really broke away and paid for her own college. She felt called to be a teacher. But I think that if she had grown up in a family that offered her more encouragement and options, she might have pursued acting.
Was she good? I mean,
she was good. She was always the lead in all the church plays. Like she did.
Like what role?
Oh, what's that one play? Oh my God, I wish I could remember. It's a comedy.
Agnes of God?
No.
No, that's a drama.
That's a drama. You Can't Take It With You.
Oh, yeah.
You know that comedy play? Yeah, so she
was
the lead
in
that.
Do you remember seeing her?
Yes.
Was it good?
Yes.
Were you like, oh my God, I want to be my mom?
A little. I used to run lines with her as a kid. We would run lines into a tape recorder, and then she would listen to them while she cooked dinner or did chores.
Do you still do that now? Do you still like do the recorder thing when you learn lines?
I don't.
You don't? How do you learn lines?
Well, actually, I did do that for a play. I did a play in San Diego, and I recorded certain scenes that I was having trouble with. And then I ran lines with myself.
You recorded scenes?
I read the lines. I read not my lines, so I read the other person's lines. And then I did lines with myself as I drove back and forth.
Are you pretty good at lines?
Yes.
So you could learn if someone gave you, hey, 3 pages for tomorrow. Do you need to?
I could do 3 pages in 10 minutes.
Why? By the way, I don't know. This pisses me off. People like who are on the show, Kristen Bell comes on the show. That's just how she is. She's photographic memory. She could learn it in the trailer. My nerves are so rattled that I have to work endlessly. There's this fear that I'm going to fail. There's this fear I'm not smart. I have to. It's going to take me time to learn them. I just, you know, it's just, it's so hard for me.
My performance is better when I spend a long time on the lines. If I have to, in a pinch, you could hand me a scene and we could start filming it in 15 minutes. And you'll get like my first idea for the line. You'll get my first instincts. It won't be the richest performance. It probably won't be the best. But if I work on it at home, then like more stuff will come out. So, but I can memorize quickly.
You could retain it. It is retained. Yeah, yeah. And then once you're done for that scene, it goes away?
A little bit. What is that?
That was an answering machine.
I have a home phone, but it just doesn't record any messages.
Yeah.
I have, it's a landline, a true landline, so that in case of that emergency we've been talking about.
Grab the backpack.
We can call down, you know, down 911 and they know where I am. But you know what? They tried to give me a digital landline, which does not record your address. And I had to really fight for that landline. I mean, truly, I had to get in an argument with phone company about
it. You're very concerned about your privacy.
I am.
Because it sounds like it's been invaded before. Not only through this Macy's or whatever. What was this? Bed Bath & Beyond.
No, it was my phone. Listening to me.
But before that, were there things that you were sort of paranoid? Like, you know, in the sets, like, which address should we give them? I'm going to give you do alias names at hotels.
Well, yeah. Well, you know, maybe it all goes back to this. When we were starting to become successful on The Office, when The Office was taking off and it was clear we were going to be on the air for a while and people were getting to know us as household names, our showrunner, Greg Daniels, brought in a security expert and he made us have a meeting with him. And this security expert spoke to us about how to maintain our privacy and safety. And he gave us all these tips and he referenced. So one of his tips was never allow mail to come to your home address, addressed to your real name, because there was this girl who was stalked and murdered, an actress, and it was from a postal worker who saw her name and address come through his post office. He figured out where she lived. So that story haunted me. So I have all my mail sent somewhere else. And if a family member mails a package to my house. He also said if anyone ever sends anything to your house or leaves anything at your house, you should put it in a red folder, because if you get murdered, we'll start with the red folder.
That's comforting.
So I've got
You're dead.
So listen, everybody, I've got a red folder. And I, you know, you'll get a call if I wind up dead, if you've ever mailed anything to my house.
So you are a little paranoid. I'm a little paranoid now after hearing this. I use Postmates all the time. Everybody knows my address. And I mean, probably half the time, even though I'm not a big star, they go, oh, you're that. Or someone will even say, you're Michael Rosenbaum. I'm like, how do you know my name?
Yeah, when we do Instacart, I make my husband answer the door.
I even put my alias, a guy who picked on me back in eighth grade. That's the alias name I use.
You use your bully as your alias name?
Mm-hmm. Oh, great.
What does that mean? Let's go into that.
That's
interesting. Why?
I just thought it was kind of funny. Let's say it's Brenneman.
Okay.
Let's just say it's Brenneman. I went to this hotel, the Sutton Place Hotel. I filmed Smallville there for many years. So while I was staying there and I did other projects and movies, and while I'm at the Sutton Place, it's been years now since I had been at this hotel. Years. And my brother had come up when the show just started. So he hadn't been up there for many years. So we got a room at the Sutton because we were doing, he came to visit. I was doing another project. And long story short, we walk in and all of a sudden one of the bell guys goes, good evening, Mr. Brenneman. And my brother goes, awesome. That was awesome. How did he, it was just like this random moment. I hadn't seen this guy in 10 years. He was still working there. Mr. Brenneman. I'm like, how are you? Didn't know your name. Sorry about that. I bet he's still working there.
He might.
I believe he was Filipino.
Well, so you recognize him by his face. You'd recognize him if you saw
100%.
Him.
100%. I loved him. I would hug him right now.
Yeah, I believe you.
You wouldn't.
I would need to do some background checks first.
Are you a hugger?
Yeah, I'm a hugger.
You are?
Yeah.
Some people don't like hugs.
I hug hello and goodbye. It's fine.
My friend Steve and his wife does not like hugs. In fact, I remember the first time, like, oh, good to meet you. I hug people. It's just, She goes, she doesn't like hugs.
That's going to be a problem for you in Los Angeles because people hug hello a lot.
Yeah.
It's a big hugging city.
Mm-hmm. Are you a hugger, Ryan?
Yeah, I'll do hugs.
You do?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you kiss me on the cheek sometimes, too, so that's, you know, that's nice.
I do not kiss you on the cheek. You believed him.
Yeah. You're very friendly.
There's nothing wrong with that.
You're very affectionate. We've established that boundary.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I love my friends. I like to make them feel comfortable and sometimes uncomfortable or fun comfortable. Just, you know, I just, that's how I am. We saw each other at Sean Gunn's wedding.
We did.
And I remember sitting there and you were talking about kids and they like hockey.
Hockey. My son plays hockey.
Right. And I just remember we had this conversation about life, like work. Yeah. Do you remember?
A little bit.
It's not that we were both like, who cares? But it was one of those things where like work isn't me. I don't like you just really are all about life. And I think you probably had to take time and figure that out. Like you said before, you didn't want to be, you loved acting.
Yes. And right? And I still love acting. I love performing. And really, I think in my heart, I especially love live performance theater. But to do theater, it's very, for me, I really lose myself. And maybe that's why I like it so much, because I really do get into the characters so deeply. And it's a very self-absorbed, narcissistic experience. But one that I'm not willing to do while I have small children, because I don't want to leave them. It's not a physical leaving. It's like an emotional, spiritual leaving when I get so absorbed in theater. But it's what I love about it so much. Yeah. And so when they graduate from high school, I'd like to go back to doing theater.
Inside of You is brought to you by Rocket Money. I love Rocket Money. You know why? Because everyone should have Rocket Money, because it just helps you save money. How many times do we have subscriptions that we don't even know we have anymore, and we're paying so much money? Just throwing away money, Ryan.
I found one.
You did it. You told me. I got Rocket Money.
I found one. I'm embarrassed to say how long it's been going on, but thank you for finding it. My God. It was embarrassing.
Yeah, because it's like you want to watch some show and you go, oh, I have to subscribe to this this streaming whatever. Mm-hmm. And you start streaming the show, you watch it, you leave, and you forget after this trial period it kicks in and it's charging terrible. You $10 a month. It is embarrassing. Ugh. You know, 75% of people have subscriptions they've forgotten about. Before I started using Rocket Money, I thought I had, you know, like, oh, I have like 5 subscriptions. I could not believe it when they showed me I was paying for like 4 extra between, you know, streaming devices and fitness apps, delivery services. It's never ending. And thanks to Rocket Money, I'm no longer wasting money on the ones I forgot about. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's features.
Rocket Money will even try to negotiate lowering your bills for you by up to 20%. All you have to do is submit a picture of your bill and Rocket Money takes care of the rest. They'll deal with the customer service for you. And I like that.
Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/inside. That's rocketmoney.com/inside. rocketmoney.com/inside. Inside of You is brought to you by Shopify. If you haven't used Shopify and you're starting your own business, I don't know who you are. I don't even want to talk to you, because Shopify is so easy to use. It is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. And it's so easy to manage and navigate. For instance, on Talkville and Inside of You, I do it all. I see what the best product selling is. I see what's the least product selling is. I can easily check how much money I've made for the month. It's easy to add a product. It's all so simple. I can do it. It's right there for you. It's just so easy to use. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere.
From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered.
Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, up to 36% better compared to other leading commerce platforms.
And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star.
Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/inside, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/inside now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/inside, because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify.
You want to go do Broadway?
Yeah, I want to move to New York. I want to do Broadway and win a Tony. I want that Tony.
Do awards mean anything to you?
Just the Tony.
So the Emmy, when you were nominated for an Emmy.
That was really exciting, and I really wanted Pam to win an Emmy. Like, she's so nice. Like,
she really is.
Don't you want her to have an Emmy?
Absolutely.
Yeah, so I felt bad. She didn't get it. But it was okay. Yeah, I think that would have been really cool. And I do think an Emmy would be really cool because I do consider myself a television actress. I consider that to be my genre that I focused on, that I'm proud of. But truly, the thing that made me want to be an actress was theater. And the thing I want to do most is theater. And to have the top prize in that.
What is it about theater? Is it the immediate, like the connection with the audience?
I think
just
it's
that feeling that this is live. This is something that you're not doing take two. I mean, because I've done a lot of theater too, but yeah. It's exhausting.
It is.
And, you know, you're doing if you do Broadway, you could be doing 8 shows a week.
Yes.
And, you know, doing the same thing over and over is not easy for me. I have ADD really, real bad.
And I totally get that. I think for me, it's that you get to tell the character's whole story in one night. So you don't have to stretch out the journey and the arc and the story and all the emotional beats over a month of filming. You get to do it all at once in one sitting, in one 2-hour chunk. And I love going on the whole character journey and tell the whole story. And then when you do it again, it's really exciting to me how you can completely intend to say a line the same way as last night, but then it comes out a little different. And then there's like a little thrill. It's like it's like the same thrill as when you're kind of like, you know, sneaking around. It's like, that line went different and listen to how they reacted. And then, get back on track.
Sneaking around like
sneaking around. We've all cheated on people, right? I mean, I'm very happily married 10 years. I've never cheated on my husband. You've never cheated on someone?
I've never cheated on someone.
You've never flirted? I don't mean like...
Flirted?
I don't mean like...
Look, by the way, I'm not a saint. I'm not sitting here going, I've never cheated.
Oh my gosh.
I've had a lot of sex. I've had a lot of whatever. I'm single. I'm flawed. I'm not judging.
Right. Okay, I need to make very clear...
You're a cheater. It's totally cool.
Oh my God, I'm so paranoid right now. I'm so paranoid.
I know you're not a cheater.
Can we re-record this and put it in another term? Here's what I'm trying to say.
I know what you're trying to say.
I'm trying to say, we all were in our 20s, right?
Yeah,
I know. In your 20s, you're like, you have a boyfriend, but then you're out and someone flirts with you and you're like, I'll take it. It's like that. It's just like that little thrill. No.
I mean, look, it doesn't matter. If you're not married, who cares? If you never cheated on your husband, then who cares?
Correct. Okay, good. We agree.
Ryan, are you a cheater?
No.
Have you ever cheated?
No.
Have you ever flirted?
I mean, I'm not good at it.
Are there have you ever had an indiscretion?
An indiscretion?
This is a horrible conversation. I'm sweating.
This is brilliant.
I am so uncomfortable.
This is gold.
I am so uncomfortable right now.
Ryan,
this is the worst moment of my life.
This is the worst interview you've ever had?
I'm so worried that this is going to come across.
Right. Hang on. Let me listen to
me. I'm spiraling.
Anybody who knows you is
emergency.
Get the Xanax.
I am a person of integrity. Please drive that home.
Do I know you're kidding. I mean, anybody who knows you, you're not a cheater. You're not. You said sneaking around. It's like when you're young and you're like in high school and you have a boyfriend and you're like, oh, this other guy's flirting with me. Oh,
yes,
it feels a little naughty.
Thank you.
And then you blow him in the back. No, I'm just kidding.
That is what I was referring to. I mean, I'm talking about like saying a line slightly differently than you intended. And then it creating the same sort of thrill that you get from an unexpected moment.
Right. Do you did you say fuck you or
no,
thank
I said
you?
Thank you.
Oh, I wish you would have said fuck you.
No.
That would have been great. Hey,
yes.
Do you get nervous?
I'm a nervous person. I walk around nervous.
I mean, do you get nervous before a take?
Oh, that kind of nervous.
Yeah.
It depends on what it is. So I just did this television show called Splitting Up Together.
I was going to ask you about that. You worked with my friend Bobby Lee.
Yes.
You should do his podcast too.
I should.
I always do his podcast. I think I've been on his podcast the most.
I've offered to do his podcast and he won't invite me. So maybe he'll hear this podcast and think I'm a good guest and then he'll believe me.
I will. I'll email him because you should do his podcast.
Okay. I will do his podcast. I told him I would.
The Asians are really supportive.
Great.
They were really cool. Does that sound racist?
Yeah, the way you phrased it.
Well, what am I supposed to say? Sometimes I just say shit that's stupid because I'm not that bright. I meant like people of the Asian persuasion. I
feel like it might be getting worse.
Let me try to get it out. My stepmom's Asian. My best friend growing up is Filipino. He's Asian. Joe Coy's Asian. I'm talking to a girl right now who's half Asian, half Mexican.
This is making me feel better about my whole tangent that I went on, frankly.
Oh my God. I'm not editing this.
Oh no. Okay,
let's, edit the last part about the Asian. No, I'm kidding. don't write that down. I don't think that's necessary. And the people know me.
Here is what I was going to say about being He's nervous. He's writing it down. He's like, I'm going to make an executive
Ryan,
call here.
Fuck.
Just in case we want to get it.
He's like, just sleep on it. You know sleep on it.
Is I don't think I've laughed this much in a podcast. You're genuinely making me laugh.
Thank you.
No, I really think you're funny. Like, I know you, but I was kind of like, I get a little nervous with every guest, but like, you know, we know each other, but we don't know each other. We know each other from James and Sean and Lee and whatever. And we kind of see, we don't know each other.
It's true.
And then you come here and it's like, oh my God, I love this girl.
Thank you. I actually do. You know how you said that like a thing about you is that you make people comfortable?
I try, yeah.
I am funny. I know that about me. I'm naturally funny. I've been that way my whole life.
Oh, yeah.
And I think people don't expect it a lot of times because I have, I think, a face of a non-funny person or something. I don't know. I always say I look like someone you'd be happy to rent an apartment to. You'd let me sublet your apartment with no problem.
I would. Right? I would let, if I didn't know you, I'd let you watch my dogs tonight.
Yeah. You'd be like, oh, I trust her. Yeah. She can stay in my house.
And I'm a good judge of character.
That's no problem.
I feel like that.
Yeah. So that's the face I present with. But I actually have a really good sense of humor. And what's funny is the other day, my kids were making a list of who they think is funniest in our family. This maybe is a little telling about what kind of, I'm a very serious mother, I guess. But they made a list of all the people, and I was last after the cat. The cat beat me. They were like, my daughter was like, I think I'm funniest. And then probably the cat, then Weston, then dad, then mom.
You probably were insulted by that.
Well, I was like, that is amazing. I'm like, I've made my living on my sense of humor. But in my own home, I'm a huge dud.
You're a failure.
A failure.
You're a comic failure.
Yes.
Every day you bomb.
I'm just boring them to death.
Do you try harder?
So bored. Hey, I've been trying harder ever since she said that. Ever since she said that, I've taken that as a challenge. I'm like, I need to lighten up at home, clearly.
Do you try to make them laugh?
Sometimes.
Do you ever raise your voice?
Yes.
Let me hear a yell from you.
Guys, I said the bathtub now. I mean it. Listen to my voice.
Is that as loud as you'll get?
Yeah. It's more like, I'm not like so much a screamer or yeller as I am like a stern talker.
Well, let me fast forward to when they're 14 or 15 and you hear say that same thing again. I'll be here. What's your son's name?
Weston.
Weston, watch. Go ahead.
I said, get upstairs now. Listen to me. I've said it 3 times. Let's move.
F you.
All right. You are going to go to your room right now until you can learn to speak to me with respect.
I don't have to do that. What are you going to do about it?
Well, I guess I'm going to do nothing.
I mean, really, you're raising a horrible kid if he's doing that.
I know.
I mean, if he's saying that, you got to maybe next.
But, you know, part of it is that. Like, part of it is sometimes where we had like timeouts and stuff when they were little, but it was never so much of a punishment as like, listen, you need to go sit in the other room until you can calm down. That we respect each other in the family. Like, we get like really like we go on too long. And so sometimes they're like, you know what? I'll just go in the other room because I don't want to listen to your philosophy of family right
I
now.
I just had this funny thought of you going in the other room, just very as a matter of factly. Is that a word?
I'm accepting it as a word. Yes. It's
Ryan looked at me like I'm just an absolute moron.
It's probably not, but
okay.
As a matter of fact,
Lee.
Yeah.
Is your husband.
Okay. As a matter of fact, Lee.
But you should call him that. As a matter of fact.
As
Lee.
A matter of fact, Lee.
What if you go? I could see you leaving the room with your child Weston, who just upset you. And I could just for some reason I see you going to Lee and go, oh, I don't know what's gotten into me. I feel like I sort of like feel like I want to spank him. But you don't. But you want to just say it out loud and you feel bad for just thinking that you want to spank him?
There have been conversations where I've said things like, there are moments when like a child is going to do something truly dangerous. And how do you stop them from doing the really dangerous thing? Like
right.
running into the street without looking. Do you know what I mean? Like, how do you drive that home? I don't know. Because there's some things with kids where you can let them make the mistake and learn the lesson themselves.
And there's some things you have to really
there's some things that you can't let them learn them. You can't let them learn run into the street and get hit by a car by themselves.
Yeah,
you know, they can't learn that by themselves. You have to drive that home. And so it's like, because we've always, you know, I'm a no hitting house and no screaming, you know, but then there was one time when Weston started to run into the street and I screamed and he got so scared. He started crying because I had
because
never heard
scared.
Me scream. Like, yeah, I was scared and it all came out of my voice and I scared him. And I was like, sweetie, I'm so sorry I scared you like that. But I really can't run in the street, you know, and I was able to recover quickly and he was okay. But
I think you had to. It was just your instinct.
Yeah,
that's a fight or flight kind
it
of
is
moment.
Kind
you know?
Of. Yeah. Yeah. So I think sometimes like. I guess in that moment, since maybe because I don't scream all the time, when I did scream, it drove home the point, the really important point of not running in the street.
Yeah, I would have got hit by the car because screaming in my house didn't affect me because it was just all the time.
It was just constant screaming.
Yeah, oh, my God. Like, I'm not even kidding. If I tell you one more time. I mean, it would just be like, you know, it's like, oh, my God, I'd rather my dad hit me than the voice.
The voice?
The voice was, he's got that voice. It's like, I'm not going to tell you again. It was like, sort of like Nicholson, day 17 of The Shining.
Do you have brothers and sisters?
Michael.
Oh.
If you do that again while I'm working, I'm going to, you know, I have an older, it's a lot. I have an older half brother, an older half sister from my mom's first marriage, who she had when she was 16 and 18. She married my dad when she was 23. Her kids were now 5 and 7. He was 18. One, he was a hippie, you know, then they had me a year later, my brother 5 years after that, you know.
Okay. All right.
It was just like my dad was growing up. He was a kid. Could you imagine having a kid at 18 and having to deal with a 5 and a 7 year old?
No, I had my kids at 37 and 40, and that was perfect for me. Except I feel like maybe I won't get to be a grandma.
What?
Well, if my daughter waits until she's 40 to have a baby, then I'll be 80 by the time she has a baby.
Okay, so.
But I won't be able to be like a sit on the ground and like watch your kids for you while you're at work, grandma.
Hey, Grandma Blanche is 91 and still driving.
All right. All right. No, my great grandma lived to be 96, but it's something I think about. I think like I'm a much better parent because I waited, but I feel like I might be missing out a little on like another chapter of life, like the grandma chapter of life. Because
you're
I
already
put
thinking
off parenthood.
Of grandma. I'm just thinking of commitment. You're already a grandma.
I think ahead. If you hadn't noticed.
You do.
I do.
Mean, there's nothing wrong with it. Do you ever get like, you know, you say, because obviously the one yell, it wasn't a yell. That was a defense mechanism. That was like, I have to do this. That was
yeah.
like, okay,
that
we talked.
That was sort of primal.
Yeah.
I was like, Joe, Jara.
Yeah. It was. But have you ever lost your cool at work? Like where it's just like, I don't like how I'm being treated by a director. I don't like this. And just said, you know what? I'm not going to do this.
I did. And I lost my temper at work. It was because I had fought really hard and asked to be off work for Halloween to go trick-or-treating with my kids.
Mm.
And we had planned it. And then there was some delay in a shooting that was happening that day. And we lost time. So we lost a scene. And the producers came up to me and said, we're really sorry, but we're going to have to tack that on to the end of Tuesday. And I said, Tuesday's Halloween. I'm done at 5 o'clock on Halloween, you promised. And they're like, well, I'm really sorry. The only day we can get the crane, which is what is required for the shot, is Tuesday. And we're going to have to do it at the end of the day because of this and that. And I lost my shit. I mean, it was like, I lost my shit. And that was, again, that was like a primal, like, you will not take this away
this
from
my family.
Yeah. But I've never, like, lost
it. Did you end up trick-or-treating?
You know what? I lost my shit so hard that
they fired you.
That the AD, bless her heart, she came. So this was a Friday and Halloween was the following Tuesday. On Monday, she came up to me and said, if you're willing to stay late today and force your call for tomorrow on the down low, I found a crane and we can do the shot tonight because I couldn't handle how devastated you were about missing Halloween, and I'm going to make it work. It was like she came to my rescue.
That's nice.
It was amazing.
You know what? I had one time where I flew Friday morning after a scene back to LA, and I got off the plane and I got in the car and I was halfway to my house and I saw production office. So I answered it on the third time I called. And it said, it was, hey, I hate to break it to you, buddy. You got to turn around and get back on a plane. We got one booked right now. We got to do another thing. Something happened with the scene. We got to do it again. And the car turned around and I flew. So the weekend was gone. So I flew back, landed, 2 hours of makeup, got on set. AD goes, I'm so sorry. You could fly back home. We're not going to get to it.
Oh my God. What did you do?
God, I just go. I remember Jane, what's her name? Charitable, rich.
A charitable, rich.
Lives in a castle.
Person named doing Jane Fonda?
Jewelry commercials. She was like Dr. Quinn, medicine woman, I think.
Oh.
Jane Seymour.
Jane Seymour.
She was there and, you know, she was a guest star and she was lovely. But this is one day where it was just like, you know, when someone's like genuinely sorry about something, it's like, it's what can you do?
Yeah.
But when someone's kind of like going, well, dude, get back up. Like, yep. I don't give a shit.
You couldn't handle
it. Your time doesn't mean nothing to me. It just cavalier fucking, it just was rude. I just felt like, you know, and I go, you know what, man, fucking get your shit together. I forgot what I said, but I was just really kind of, and I didn't raise my voice, but I remember.
This is a very mild tantrum.
Well, no. Well, hang on.
Okay.
And what got me was Jane goes, Michael, love, everything just, this is filmmaking. It's what happens.
It's the biz.
And I just turned to her and I go, you're a guest star.
Oh, you unleashed on Jane Seymour.
But I didn't yell at her. I just go, you're a guest star. I love you. But, you know, we deal with this shit all the time.
Well, that was my question. Was this
It got me a little upset. Like, just mind your own business. I love her, but sorry, Jane.
But this was like a thing that had been sort of happening. And this was maybe the biggest example of the mismanagement. But I imagine that this had been building up. There had been like years calling you in and not using you and all that sort of stuff.
Yes. I said dude too many times to you.
Yeah.
It was a, you know, sometimes you just don't feel like you're a priority sometimes. Sometimes you just don't. It's not that you have to be a priority. Things would happen a lot of times and they wouldn't look at you. There were other people that had to be taken care of.
Yeah.
And so no matter what you had. And I had those same things where I'm like, hey, this is the week where I'm going to see my family. So I asked for this Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, 3 months ago.
Right.
Yeah, but as you know, Michael, production can't do that. That's not how it works. I'm like, I have to. This is my brother's graduation. I'm getting on a plane. I don't give a fuck. And then you're the dick, but I'm like, I'm getting on a plane.
Yeah.
You have to work it out. It's not like I'm springing this on you. So I would just be like, I'm going. So I don't. You guys can do what you want.
I think
deep down, I was kind of like, you're not going, you're trying to play, you know.
Yeah.
But you had to let them know how important it was to you.
I feel like this is an aspect of filmmaking or being on a show that people don't maybe realize, because mostly what you see are actors on red carpets at parties and fancy outfits.
Sure.
Or you see behind the scenes videos where we're all yucking it up. But
easy.
Yeah. Right. Like, but the thing is that it's very long hours, and you usually, when you're an actor, you're waking up when the sun is not out yet, and it's 5:30 in the morning, and you're getting home at 7 at night, and you know there's a union rule where you have to have 12 hours off from the end of one workday to the beginning of the next workday, but you know, that's about all you get. And that doesn't include travel time or showering or working on your lines for the next day. And so it's a very consuming lifestyle. It's very consuming. And then when you're on set, people are on you all the time. The lack of privacy and autonomy is very difficult for me about being on a set. So it's very difficult that from the moment I park my car, there's someone standing at my car door. And then they walk me to my dressing room.
Yeah, they don't
room,
trust you.
And then
no
they
matter
sit,
what.
No, no, no. They treat you like a child who might run away
okay,
at any
Michael,
time.
Okay, Michael, come on. We're going to go to the makeup trailer, and then you can have ice cream.
And then, yeah, they walk you there, and then they stand outside your door. Mm-hmm. And then they knock, and then you come with them. Like, you're constantly being escorted. And the thing that really bugs me is, like, you can't even go to the bathroom privately because you're wired. You've got a microphone on, so you have
Bed,
to stay.
Bath and Beyond.
And you're like, excuse me, this is, must be it.
Yeah.
Years of wearing the microphone.
They
and you're
hear
like,
every move.
I need to go to the restroom.
Jenna's taking a crap.
Yeah, they're like, Jenna's 10-1. 10-1 is the code
is
for
bathroom. Is that 10-1?
Yeah, 10-1.
Why wouldn't it be 10-2?
Well, they make that joke. They're like, she's been gone a while, must be a 10-2. Like, you hear them on the walkies, Jenna's 10-1. It's maybe a 10-2. I'm serious. This is, it's like you're constantly, it's like they are like the Secret Service. They have little headphones on and they track your movements. So someone's always watching you. Jenna's at craft service. Yeah. No, she won't need makeup. She's just getting a banana. Should be fine.
She just had a sandwich. I thought she was off the carbs.
Can we get lipstick for Jenna? She's eating an apple. Like it's, you know what I'm saying? Like someone's watching you all the time. It's, it makes you, it's freaky.
I just, you know what's funny is while we're talking, all I can think about is how do we make this sound like we're not little fucking
brats. I know.
There's no way.
No,
there's
I'm
no
trying
way anybody
to...
listening right now is going, oh, poor things.
No,
my
I don't.
My husband works at UPS and he works 80 hours a week, you fucking guy.
No, and that's the thing. I'm not looking for anyone's sympathy.
We're
it's
not.
More of like, I was sort of fascinated by it when I started. I was fascinated. I really thought that. Oh, also, like, you know what I'm amazed by are stories about actors who refuse to come out of their trailer. I couldn't imagine refusing to come out of my trailer.
No, I just want to go home.
Well, and also just
this.
like I would be terrified to not come out of my trailer. Who are these people who don't come out of their trailers? But I was amazed by the machine that makes a movie go and that makes a TV show go. And I was amazed that there was this like person who walked around next to me all day with a walkie-talkie talking into their shirt as if I can't hear them. Because initially I would respond to them. They would be like, Jenna is walking. And I'd say, what? What was that? They're like, Jenna is walking.
Can
I'm like, what is
just,
it?
I guess they have
and they're like,
to.
I'm not talking to you. And I was like, oh, okay. Because you're walking right next to me. And
you're referring
talking,
to me.
You're referring to me. So, yeah, so. So like people talk about you while you're right there. It's all very odd to me. So I'm talking about it more in a, not to complain,
yeah.
But in the way of like, it's sort of fascinating the way
and
we're,
uncomfortable at times.
And uncomfortable. And there's a lot of lack of privacy. You know, stuff you have to tell people and then they just sort of announce it.
Mm-hmm.
Hey guys, it's after the holidays and Jenna's going to need bigger pants this week. Thank you. She's gone up a size. So can we
they
need to go shopping because Jenna's gone up a size.
That's extreme.
In her pants.
She could use
that
bigger
happened.
She could use bigger pockets.
That happened. I mean, that actually happened.
Wait,
to me.
That happened to you?
Yeah, that actually happened to me. Where it was we came back after the holidays and my skirt on the office didn't fit me anymore. And they were like and it was like a whole thing. Because I couldn't come out of my trailer because my skirt didn't fit, right? And so it was like, where is she? Why isn't she coming out? Well, she's having a wardrobe issue. What's the issue? Well, it doesn't fit. We need to go up a size. We're scrambling to go up a size. So then after that happened once, then the wardrobe people in the office, they kept two wardrobes for me, all in sort of like the regular size and then everything one size up in case I just didn't feel like giving a shit. And so then I had both options. And then I would get to work and I would just, after the holidays, they would set both skirts.
Just, they didn't want
the
you to pick.
The first episode back
Could
from the break.
Could you imagine?
The first episode back from the break, they would just have the size 4 and the size 6.
But
so whichever one's working. You decide.
Here's the thing. They can't win. In their eyes, they had a meeting.
They
said, here's the deal. What do we do with Jenna? Well, if we just put the big one
right, that's
in the
insulting.
Trailer, then she's going to think, oh, what the fuck?
Right.
If we put the small one, then she's going to be like, oh, I need
it's
the big
so
one. Then she's uncomfortable.
And then she,
what if we just lay both,
just
of, them
both
out,
of them out
and she can choose what she wants to be? But what if you choose the big one even if you don't need it? And they're like, that's a little loose, Jenna. I think you need the small one.
Yeah.
And then you're on set going, oh, really? Oh, do I?
Oh, you think
well, you know,
so?
If you really think I need a smaller one, then get the smaller one.
But truly, that's the kind of intimate stuff. I mean, like normally after the holidays, you can just grab your, you know, your big jeans or your big pants and go to work and no one needs to know.
Yeah.
But on a set, there's no privacy. Everyone has to know that. Everyone has to know Jenna doesn't like stuff taped to her skin. It makes her itch. I hate that I have to tell people that. Who cares? I hate that I know that. I wouldn't know that you can't tape a microphone to me because it'll make me itch. But now I know that. And now when a mic person comes up to me, when a sound person comes up to me, I have to tell them, excuse me, we're going to need to tape that to my shirt, not to my skin, or else it'll itch. That's like annoying.
Do you know what, though?
That's annoying.
The thing is, no matter what, it's almost like we're trying to prove ourselves to the crew, to our fellow actors. We're not high maintenance. All I want to do is go to work and go on set, go to my trailer. They give me makeup, get my wardrobe, and they're ready to shoot.
Yeah.
I don't really care. But things,
I want to be easy.
Look, if you're there all the time, like you're there more than you're seeing your family. You're there for hours and hours. I was, you know, something 16 hours, 14. So you want things to be, you know, if I'm going to be here that long, I want things to be as comfortable as they can since I'm going to be here that long. So you know what? I want a place to rest, take a nap. I want a place to have some privacy, call someone. So I don't think these things, they sound trivial, but they're not. They're like, you know, it's kind of like, and those are those AD, the first assistant director, that's their job. They're told, I want to know everything Jenna's doing. Yeah. So then you have to go to their boss and go, stop. And they go, well, actually, my boss, this is what the director wants. And then the director. So it just is like, it's something we just have to deal with.
Yeah. And I think I am a very private person. And we talked about how I'm kind of shy. And so it's uncomfortable for me. I like a lot of autonomy. I like my alone time. You know what I mean? So that's an uncomfortable part of the job.
Yeah.
For me. It's just the very overly social, complete lack of alone time when you're on a set is hard for me.
Sure. No, it is. It is hard. And for me, it's just doing the same scene. Like, that's the one thing. That's why I think why plays and, like, even just doing something over and over. I get so bored so easily that I'm like, God, that was awesome. Can't we just use the wide shot?
Why do I have to repeat that for the next 3 hours?
Why do we have to do coverage for 6 hours so this director could feel safe and have all the close-ups and all these things? Why can't we just move along and keep going? And that's the great thing about a play. You don't have to worry about stopping. You just go. So you're right.
Yeah. You just tell the whole story. And then you're like, well, that one bit, I'm going to have to fix that tomorrow.
You know, two of our mutual friends, James.
Yes.
James Gunn.
Yes.
Sean Gunn.
Yep.
I find it shocking. Some people ask me, Michael, how are you friends with your exes? My ex-girlfriend, I have another podcast called In Love with Michael Rosenbaum and Chris Sullivan, which is like about gratefulness and relationships. And she came on. She's married now. Loved the guy. She came on with her child. And she talked about why it didn't work with us and things like that. And I was like, yeah.
Did you already know everything she said? Or did you learn anything?
I learned new things. Mm-hmm. I learned some new things for sure. And, you know, I was very respectful. It's not like you're going to talk about sex or anything like that. She goes, we're not going to. I'm like, no.
Yeah.
That'd be really weird and disrespectful to the husband.
Yeah.
So.
It would. I agree.
No, it would.
I'm agreeing.
But I'm just saying, I know you were married to my friend for 7 years, James.
Yep. But then there we were, both of us at Sean's wedding.
At Sean's wedding, and you also helped, you know, with getting Rain into Super supposedly,
yeah.
His movie, which I loved.
I did.
You know, and I look at that, and I'm like, that's just so mature and so cool, but really odd because you don't, normally people hate each other, like, oh, my fucking ex, and I'm sure it wasn't easy. You got divorced.
Yeah.
You know, there was things that happened, but like, you're friends, so to
we're
speak.
We're legitimate friends. Yeah.
It's just, how?
Well, I don't know. I think a lot of it is him, I have to say. He, you know him.
Oh, yeah.
I remember he said, when we decided to get divorced, he said, you know, we're not going to be able to call the marriage a success, quote unquote, because we're not staying married, but let's have the most successful divorce. Like, how can we have the most successful divorce? What does a successful divorce look like? And that was like an actual conversation that we had. And in fact, I would say that the marriage was a success because there were so many things that I learned about myself through that relationship. I think that relationship was totally necessary for me. I grew so much as a person. I think he would say he did too. And I'm so grateful for that time. And also, I think we were able to have that because there was no cheating. I can drive that home again.
Fuck yeah.
Let's drive home my integrity again.
Yeah, I think if you cheated, I probably couldn't have you here.
No.
Then I'd be like, ah, James, I'm having your ex-wife who cheated on you and broke your heart.
But I think that's the thing. Like the reasons we divorced weren't explosive or hurtful or anything like that. We just realized that we weren't actually the best partners.
Right.
That we could have. And that just became clear over a period of time. And it was sort of like, well, I mean, I guess we could stay married just because we said. But I think there's a different life for each of us out there if we have the courage to admit that this wasn't the right choice. And that's a hard conversation to have, especially because of how much I like him and how much we have in common and how much we made each other laugh and we have a mutual love of animals. And so there was this whole percentage of the relationship that worked. But then I think the part that was kind of the most important part of what the reason why you marry someone versus have them as a friend,
right,
that part wasn't working for either of us.
And if you think about it, I mean, it's very easy to think, look, everybody always wants the perfect marriage, and I want to get married, and I want it to be forever. But you realize a lot of times forever is extraordinary. It's extraordinarily difficult.
Yeah.
Because you're saying, hey, you know, the prenup thing. You know, I think of like, if I get married, I'm like, hey, maybe she has more money than me. Maybe I have more money than her. I don't know.
Yeah.
But why not get a prenup? It's not because I think I'm going to. What if you fall out of love with me? Do you think it's going to last 50 years? I hope it does. But that's a 50 freaking years is a long time. It's rare. And I hope it does. It's a lot of pressure to put on yourself like this. This doesn't have to work. Let's do what we can to make it work. I guess it's easier said than done, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean,
no one wants to get divorced. It's like the stigma.
Well, yeah, you don't. When you're getting married, you're not thinking that that's an option.
Yeah, like, hey, let's do this. But you know, whatever.
But you know, but then if it doesn't work out, well, just get divorced. I think I was really young when I got married to James, and I wasn't young. I was 26. That's actually not very young, but I was young.
I think that's kind of young.
I was young, and
I was still sleeping in my pants at that age.
Like you didn't have time to take off your pants?
You know, I'd be drunk.
Oh, I see. You were still...
Or yes. Sometimes I just sleep in my pants.
Yeah. But I think like I met James when I was like 23 or 24. I was very young and I think I didn't do great due diligence for myself. I didn't like really say, what do I want my whole life to look like? And then what kind of partner does that require? What's a good match for me? I just sort of had the message that like, hey, when you fall in love, you marry that person. Marry the person you fall in love with. But then I had another person say, actually, you can fall in love with tons of people. It doesn't mean you should marry them.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So it's like, just because love isn't enough, I guess, is what I didn't know.
Ooh, that's a good song title.
Is it not already a song title?
What is that title again?
Love Isn't Enough.
Love Isn't Enough.
Like, there's also, like, other practical
down,
shit.
Baby.
Like, you know.
Put that down, Ryan.
Mutual goals, lifestyle, ways to partner. People partner differently.
Well, look, I appreciate you being so damn open and so sweet and so funny. I wish you have an appointment today, so I gotta go take a picture downstairs and stuff. But I love talking to you. You're so much fun.
Thank you.
You're really, like, this is...
You're not the first person to be surprised.
Yeah. I just feel like, you know, I shoot these, they're not sequentially. It's not like we record and it airs, record and it airs. So when I say this last person, I'm saying everybody's great, but I'm saying this is so much better than the last one.
Thanks.
Than the last person I recorded a long time ago, whatever. It's just fun. I'm having fun.
Thank you. I've really enjoyed doing this podcast.
Yeah. Would you ever come back?
Sure, why not?
Is that true?
Yeah.
It wasn't that much of an inconvenience, was it?
No. No, you're very well located.
Oh, good.
For my life.
Oh, good. That's a good start. You have a podcast, or you're doing one, right?
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about that for a second?
I've got a podcast.
Yeah, let's talk about that for a second.
If you don't mind. Yeah, I'm doing a podcast with my best friend, Angela Kinsey. It's called Office Ladies. Here's what we do. Every week, we watch an episode of The Office, and then we chat about it, and we tell all our behind-the-scenes stories and trivia.
Are you serious?
Yeah. So like only, you know, because we were there. So we can tell you all the
Are you going to have like
details.
Special guests like maybe Steve Carell or Rain?
We will. We'll have other actors on. But then we're going to have awesome people on like our editor, Dave Rogers, who knows absolutely everything about every episode and every person.
God.
Because he was just in the basement editing all the time. He knows literally everything. So he's a fascinating person to talk to.
That is amazing.
But like our DP, different directors. Yeah, it's fun. It's really fun.
What's it called again?
Office Ladies.
Office Ladies.
It's on Wednesdays. Comes out on Wednesdays. You can subscribe.
When?
I don't know what time.
I mean, when is it going to?
Oh, well, it premiered October 16th.
What's your handles?
Oh, I'm at Ms. Jenna Fisher.
Do you follow me on Instagram?
No, should I?
Could you?
I will now.
That'd be cool.
Do you have a separate Instagram for your podcast?
Yeah.
Do you find that difficult to manage?
I have a guy who does it, Bryce, who's amazing.
Oh.
Bryce does all the social media, so he's really helping out. But I actually do, too, and I like things, and I add things, and I listen and look at people's comments and stuff, because I think that's important. I like to engage.
No, well, people can write us questions about episodes or things they want to know, and we'll answer the questions.
I think people are going to really love this.
I hope so.
Now, do you
We're
have to pay a commission?
It.
Do you have to pay commission to the office?
I don't think so.
If you make money, because you'll make money, maybe, right?
Well, yeah.
You'll do sponsorship.
When they buy ads, people buy ads on the show.
So you just talk about it. It's
like doing a DVD commentary of it with also our personal stories, and then also just sometimes we just chat about our lives.
You know, Rain was on here.
Yeah.
And yeah, he was great. And he talked about, you know, he was very upfront and personal and like really got. So he just got, you know, he talked about, you know, he said, I can be an asshole. And, you know, I remember on the office, I don't think if you asked people in the office, they'd say I was an asshole. But, you know, I would get in my head and I get, you know, a certain way. And, you know, and he was just very honest and, you know, going through things and finding himself and all these things. Did you enjoy working with him?
I love Rain. So that aspect of Rain that he's talking about, we just, you know, when you just have like an uncle who gets real cranky sometimes. That was Rain.
That was it.
Sometimes
cranking
he'll get
us.
Real cranky, but never. He was never abusive. He was never mean.
Yeah.
You know, he's a warm, wonderful, nice
really
guy.
Is.
He just, you know, would get cranky, and in the sweetest way, though. And then you could just call him out on it, and he thought it was funny. But I'll tell you something. Rain is the person that I would call if I was like deeply wounded or sad about something, like in a moment of grief or in a moment of just like existential crisis. He is the person to call. I trust him with my deepest secrets and my biggest hurts and everything. He's just a soulful, wonderful man.
You know, it's funny you say that. I don't know him as well as you do, obviously, but after sitting with him, I felt that way too. I felt like his he had just buried his dog.
Aww.
And he came in here and he talked about it and how his wife and him, they wept and, you know, and they said their love and they just said, you know, and it was just like, you could just tell that like, he's really, there are those people who just go through life going through the motions, which I think was me for quite a while. And now I'm really paying attention to things and really trying to be present and mindful and all these things and just be a better person. Not that I'm a bad person, but just feel more, you know?
Yes.
And I could just tell, you know, I you could call this guy.
Yeah.
And he'd be like, hey, I'll be right over. Or, hey,
yes.
What do you need? I feel that way too.
Yes, that's him.
Yeah.
That's him.
That's nice to work with people that like that, you know?
Yes, yes.
Well, this has been fantastic. I really, really liked
it. I really liked it. This is so good.
Yeah. I mean, I can go on forever with you. Usually I like to cut them off after an hour.
So. You do.
So this is good. It's about an hour, right?
But I feel like there's more we could say if I came back another time.
Do you promise to come back another time?
Yeah.
Can you really do that? All right,
of
let's
course.
Let's
why not?
How about this? How about I will text you in the next maybe after 6 months?
Great.
That will give a little time of separation.
Yeah.
Jenna Fisher's coming back.
Coming back. And then you can ask me like about my new life as a podcaster.
Yeah, and see, and then it's going in.
Because it's just at the beginning now.
Exactly. I think that's a great idea.
Yeah.
She promised.
I promised.
Yeah. My friend Dax said he's gonna be on the show again, but he says he can't do it till December because he's shooting a show.
He's shooting the show that took
Wait.
Over my time slot. It's why my show got canceled. So that's why he's so busy.
Jenna Fisher, this has been a real good time. Thank you for allowing me to be inside of you. Keep the mug.
I
you
will.
Like the mug.
I
and
like the mug.
You're amazing. Say hello to Lee for me.
I will.
And the kids, keep them out of the street.
Yep.
It's all good.
We'll be right back. The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band and they must think this kid must have just handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.